And good evening.
Yes, good evening. And welcome evening. To Considering Some Things.
Yeah. Tonight.
Episode.
49.
Welcome to episode 49.
We will be considering some things. Join us now, won't you, for episode 49 as we consider
things. I'm your host, Leonard Pimp Garnell.
It was a particularly bad film.
Hey, everybody, how you doing? This is Keith Cox, and of course, always over there is the wonderful
Mark Storer. That's me.
This is Considering some things. Number 49. Wow.
Which leads me to think, and I might be mistaken, because either episode 50, which would be our next episode, which will have a big, big surprise celebration with cake.
Yep,
we're going to have cake. So you tune in for that. I believe we are on your 20th or perhaps your 19th episode. I'm not sure if you started on episode 29. I think you actually started on episode 30, which would make episode 50 your 20th episode.
I think I did start at 30.
Yeah.
As co-host. Yeah, I think it was episode 30, if I'm not correct.
So you're now 19 episodes in. You know, no one's fired you yet. No, you haven't been promoted, but you've been showing very well.
Well, I thought that after, you know, 20 episodes, there's a promotion involved. I don't know. Maybe
you know what? I'll talk to management.
Talk to management, would you? Yeah, and get back to me, because I would at least like my review. You know,
I got your review, yeah. Pal.
I turned in my objectives for the show and everything like that.
You know what? That's what we're gonna do. Episode 50 will include Keith's review.
Oh my God.
That's what we'll do.
Well, Mr. Cox, you've been doing this 20 episodes now. What would you say your greatest strengths and weaknesses?
Exactly. You know right where I'm going to go.
Oh, I do.
I'm going to go right down the corporate rabbit hole.
Well, sir, I would say my weaknesses are I care too much.
Exactly.
We're already giving you a little taste of what's going to happen. This is
the pre-birthday episode. It's the pre-50th episode. We get the pre-party, then we'll have the after-party. We're in good shape.
I can't wait till we get to 55. That's going to be exciting for me.
55, yeah. 55 is a good one because we're both 55 years old.
That's it. And then that's it. I think we do 5 more episodes after that and call it good.
Episode
55. That's it. Don't get any better.
Episode 55 is known as the pear-shaped men episode.
Pear-shaped, very out of shaped guys.
And you know, I am now, and I'm just bragging on myself, but I do 30 push-ups a day.
Good job, dude.
I'm very proud of myself. No. I'm 15 and 15, you know, break them up a little bit. But I, you know, and I walk about 3 miles, 4 miles a day. And
yeah, I was up to during the whole COVID thing when I was working from home, I would do 1 hour to 2 hour walks. So I was averaging 3 to 4 miles and occasionally 5 miles. But that takes a little longer than an hour and a half. So, but it was great.
Well, much has happened since we've been with you on the personal side. Simon, the Wonder Dog, and our mascot of Considering Some Things has had some major surgery, got some health issues, but we'll see them through here. We'll find out about the pathology and all the worrisome stuff in a couple of days, but the surgery worked out well. He had these things called hemangiomas, and the bottom line is they were bleeding. He was bleeding. Yeah. It was bad. But he's doing okay and hanging in there. And then we got the official word today. Actually, it would have been yesterday that my mom went into the hospital in Arizona, and she is tested positive for COVID-19. So mom's a little older and mom's not got the best of health. We're kind of waiting it through, and we just I'm hoping that I can count on y'all, all three or four of you who are listening, to pray and think good thoughts and send some good vibes my mom's way. We'll hopefully get through this.
Well, you know, this guy is, so we're absolutely rooting for mom to get through this. And you know, it's like I said, it's a tough one, this thing. So, and it's taken over here. And I'm not changing the subject, but going back to your dog, I didn't even tell you, but I'm going through dog stuff. Bridget, my, yeah, she's back to having issues, and she's got, it's weird. We got chastised, you know, veterinarians, you know, I'm going to do a whole episode on veterinarians. Cause I swear to God, you talk to somebody, one veteran, they say, well, you know, she's got, you know, Cletus.
She's got Cletus, the slack jawed yokel.
Smell of Cletus was rising up in the air. But basically, it's irritable bowel syndrome. And then the next person, the next vet says, well, no, dogs don't get irritable bowel syndrome. It's colitis. Oh, it's colitis. And
it's the same thing.
No, exactly. But they want to argue that the gal, I mean, it's just annoying. She wants to argue the point. Well, it's technically irritable bowel syndrome is a human thing, but she does have colitis. And I go, which, by the way, we all call that irritable bowel syndrome. Right. Really annoying. And it's just like, so yeah, she's been, you know, crapping herself silly the last few days, because it's, when it happens, it's a horrifying thing. I'll take a bleeding dog over a crapping dog any day.
Yeah, that's not fun. That's that's a difficult thing.
No, because it happens about 2-3 in the morning. And now she's got this medicine that she can take, and that kind of stops her up. But, you know, usually when she has these bouts, it's usually a day or two. So I do it for a day and then a couple of days. But now this has been going on for like a week, you know, almost 2 weeks. So it's scary because she's old, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's getting lumpy and all that kind of thing. So
same with Simon.
Yeah, it's tough. So I don't know what's going to happen. We're waiting for the tests of her. I had to collect poop.
This is
just wanted you to know that I had to collect poop.
While we're at it, my allergies are acting up. Listen, wait for it.
Oh, wow, nice.
Thank you.
Wow, you couldn't have improvised that any better.
I could feel it coming. You know, when it's that feeling, it's Keith has allergies too. And you can hear it in my voice, but it feels like someone's shoving a feather up your nose and just tickling you. And it's like, stop with the feather.
I almost have a sneezing attack in my office every day. And I know there's an air quality issue about it that just, it's something in my office. Just now I'll just have sneezing attacks. So
it's time to get a safety person. Oh, wait.
Yeah, we do what we can do. I don't want to be the whiny one, you know, whatever. But we're changing our filtration system to MERV 13s, which should help dramatically.
Now, the MERV 13 is bigger than the MERV 12.
Yeah, by at least one, correct?
What is a MERV 13?
That was kind of funny. So
I wanted you just to go, yeah, that's right. It's a little bigger than it's like a Dan Aykroyd routine. Oh, you got the MERV 13, I see. Ah, the MERV 13 is a fine, finer quality system.
Yeah, the MERV even comes with FM. So this is all indoor air quality stuff, in case you're wondering. So MERV means minimum efficiency reporting values. So it's a report on a filter's ability to capture particles. And then it gets into microns and stuff. I don't want to get too techie, but like 0.3 and 0.10 micron, that kind of thing, because that's really big with schools. We're really looking at indoor air quality stuff. So
God's sake, there is no indoor air quality. It's got worked in schools for 30 years. There's no quality.
Well, there is if you have a really good HVAC system. The problem is we don't. Mm-hmm. So most systems came with maybe a MERV rating of 8, you know, something like that, which would catch heavy particles, 3 to 10 or everything like that. But you can get, you know, really high efficiency, you know, really, I think you can get some ratings up to 17 or something like that, which your percentages, they become high efficiency particulate and can even stop, you know, again, airborne microns that are down into the 0.3 instead of a 1 point. You're talking 1 micron or whatever. 3 microns is when, you know, cooties travel in your spit.
Basically. Right, right.
Yeah. So if you can get below that, now it's airborne, it's catching airborne stuff. Hard to do, but if you can get high efficiency filters and stuff like that. The problem is you get a high efficiency filter and you've got these old HVAC systems, it clogs them up. They're not strong enough. So that filter, that's the problem. You just can't say, I'm going to switch out to a MERV. You can't do that because you've got to have really strong HVAC systems. So, and of course, well, you need a better HVAC system. Now you're looking at a school and it's $250,000, but we're trying to figure that out because now OSHA came out. This is going back to the COVID laws because OSHA said, hey, major outbreak, not even major, but some small outbreak is three or more people.
That's three or more people, right?
Correct. And if that's the case, you need to start testing, blah, blah, blah. Make sure you have a minimum MERV 13 rating, okay? Hmm. That kind of thing, which is getting you to about an 80%, 75% efficiency rating. I mean, they're not bad by any stretch, but they're not stopping the small cootie kind of thing. You know, it'll get some of the mold and this, that, and the other, and it's...
Several episodes ago, Keith developed the term that will forever be monikered with him, which is, that is a stout cootie.
Stout cootie. I'm just letting you know. Yeah. Well, and certainly we have one, too.
Yeah. Well, it's infinitely fascinating to me because we really, if we think about it, now the problem is obviously, like you said, there's a lot of money involved. But if we think about it, and really, if you think about your own home, let's use 21st century terms. If you think about your own space where you live, there are ways of mitigating better air quality in there. There really are.
Well, that's what they're working on. And trust me, and it's funny because I've gone down this rabbit hole. In indoor air quality and researching companies. And there are some companies that have a reverse ionic thing where it actually, you can put it into your HVAC, which is nice because that means you're not clogging, you're clogging your HVAC. But what it does is send, and this is a science thing, where there's more positive ions and negative ions. And so when that happens, because normally they're matched up or whatever, but if you send more positive, so you're making positive ions, and there's not enough negatives. So then they start clinging to anything, which means they will click or they will cling with cooties and bugs and things like that. So it's really cool.
Interesting.
And so they clean the air without a filtration. They just attack and they clean and they hold on to stuff, and they charge themselves to a cootie, things like that. So it's very interesting. I'm looking at that because it's the technology blows me away. But it's horribly expensive. But then again, you can keep your HVAC. You put that thing on there, and it's cleaning your air better than any filter can do.
Wow.
So I'm looking at, there's a tons of stuff. And that's, when you start realizing, when you start looking at the studies, that good air quality bad air quality really affects, students.
Yes, it does.
And, a lot of it's just you cram a bunch of kids in there, and then you've got overabundance of carbon dioxide really in your, and it's just not healthy air, and it dims your brain and blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of things to it. So cleaning the air is pretty important. And then
it really is.
We talked about it a long time ago. It's been in the schools for a long time, but now OSHA's weighing in on it and that's changing.
Right.
And now you're like, okay.
Well, it's getting serious now, right? Sure. Because one of the things that's come out of this, of course, is, for example, while the airports aren't exactly bastions of safety, airplanes, as it turns out, are pretty darn good because they have a huge recycling of the air system going on.
Right. And it's not recycling because it's filtered and, and again, their filtration systems are, I believe, HEPA rated. High efficiency particulate is absolutely the way to go because it's 100% effective. 100%. And then if you add other things like the, and they're looking at all this interesting things, adding
UV.
UVC.
Far UV and UVC.
Yeah, they're looking at that. And I'm still not 100% sold on the UV thing, but because it's just not. But I mean, negative ion thing I thought was very fascinating. Anyway, so that's the stuff that we have to solve now because, OSHA says if you have a major outbreak is 20 or more within a 30-day period.
Yeah.
That means you have to. There's no if. You have to fix your air. And if that means all the schools now have to have, you know, portable air filters to supplement what you're doing, then that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
So OSHA says you got to fix it.
Well, and see, this is, could we get down this rabbit hole with you? Let's use rabbit hole as our term today. I know you, and you've spoken a little bit on the show about your libertarian leanings, but this is a thing where I think OSHA and in this case, you know, the government are doing something good. Yes. Or would the market actually take care of this if it were left to a free market?
Well, that's a good question. I think in this case, OSHA might be kind of overstepping a little bit. Because they put you, they just said, this is what you have to do, and they, without realizing costs. Like, okay, so the perfect example is the COVID thing. If there's an outbreak, if there's three or more, you have to test all your employees at least, twice every week.
Right.
You know, the cost of that, and you have to pay for it. Yeah. So the schools would have to pay for testing, whether an outbreak. So three of you,
and three is very easy to get to.
Three is so easy to get to. I mean, really. Yeah. Right. So with that said, you get three, you're testing every couple of weeks or something like that. And you have to do it, or twice a week. And that's huge when you look at, if you've got, 200 employees or something like that. Oh my God.
Well, yeah, there's about 150 employees at our high school on a daily basis.
Correct.
And then you got about 2,500 kids. Right. So it's a lot.
Trust me, the meetings I'm having with HRs, all the HRs, so the once a month we have, HR meetings I sit through. Their whole thing is, just start claiming workers' comp. Yeah. And I'm like, because we can afford it. And I'm like, okay, well, we can. Because we can't deny, although I'm telling these people, I say, you can't just claim workers' comp. You still have to have causation. And I'm not even the workers' comp guy. I'm the safety guy. But even I know that, look, you got to say you got COVID, not just because what they're worried about is just that. If you're next to somebody who had COVID, guess what? You're in isolation now. And this could happen several times. I mean, this could really just, I mean, there's so many things that we're throwing wrenches here. And I'm like, oh, you can get back. And all of a sudden, oh, that guy had COVID. Oh, I'm back out. And then you're going to leave another 2 weeks because you're supposed to be gone for 14 days, technically. 10 days if you want weird. 10 days if you have the cootie, but 14 days if you didn't. That's only because it can come out later on. Whereas 10 days, we know you're pretty much, that thing is going to cycle through you. And when you had it 10 days from the time you get it, that kind of thing.
Yep.
So anyway, but you're talking something that you can go all the time. And how easy this is going to be to abuse is.
Yeah, yikes. That's it. And, our union, our teachers union is very strong. And as a result, we're just about to start our third quarter, and our third quarter's already been deemed it's going to be online. We're not going back into the classroom. While up the hill in the Conejo Valley, which is the Thousand Oaks area of Southern California, Thousand Oaks, Westlake Village, they are, and Agora, parts of Agora, they are going back into the classroom in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. Some of the teachers are scared, and I'm going to be honest with you. I've never poo-pooed COVID, but what I have said is, okay, maybe we're doing a little overstep here by closing everything. And this is bad for kids. I get that. But with Los Angeles County, the next county over, literally out of control and COVID cases exploding, I'm not sure this is the best time to kind of put everybody back in the same classroom together.
Well, and because again, it takes one student, that kind of thing. And next thing you know, everybody's got to go. And then, schools have to look at all that stuff. So we think when I talk OSHA, OSHA doesn't confront the student problem. They confront the employee problem.
Correct.
But doesn't matter. Student gets it, which means the employee gets it, which means if he went to the break room for a half an hour, now everybody that he's in the break room, you all got to go now. So all of a sudden it's that simple. You can immediately eliminate five or six teachers. I mean, teachers quick, guess what? I was a kid who had COVID and he was in my class. And now all the rest of you kids, we're going to go back to Zoom. And by the way, I'm going to go in my house. So I'm going to go back to the Zoom thing. Or, how do you sub for all those people? It could be just, it's a weird thing.
It's an overwhelming thing. Now, that said, the vaccines are coming and teachers are high up on. And then yesterday, California, hey, this is good news for you and me. California said anyone over the age of 50 will be in this next tier of vaccines. That means we're up, buddy.
Yeah. So I don't want to sound paranoid. I don't want to sound like one of those. The government's trying to kill me.
Here we go. He's prefacing his comments, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, because I don't look, I don't care what anybody says. They didn't test these things that much. This vaccine, this is the fastest they've ever come out with a vaccine. And how well, I mean, do they know it? So we're basically guinea pigs taking this thing. And it makes me nervous. Yeah. Not that I worry about being not sterile because, you know, I'm 55, but I don't want to grow a third eye in my armpit and I don't want melanoma or whatever. I don't know what the stuff is going to happen. And yeah, and when you see that some people got Bell's palsy and all that, because I'm like, yikes.
Yeah.
That makes me a little nervous. I don't want Bell's palsy either. That looks like that looks like a trag.
But it's usually temporary.
Right. Okay. Well, that makes me feel good.
It would be a lot of fun to make fun of you for an hour or two.
It would be great when the radio's going. I'm like, hey, my name is Chris Cosby. Right. That'd be a good show. This is the Bell's palsy episode.
Well, I'd have to, you know, let you take a break for that night.
Well, thanks. Wow. Good, because I'm going to call my union rep if that happens. Yeah. And like,
do we have a union? Yeah, I guess we do.
Yeah, let's call my wife. I call my wife. She's my union rep.
Never mind. I'm not fighting Tina.
I'll have her chat with you, buddy.
That's right. I'm not fighting. I give up. Whatever he wants, he can have. I understand your hesitation, and I would not say I don't share it. That said, there are a couple of things going for me now. I am a retiring teacher. That is, I will be retiring in June. But if these shots get to us in February or March, the chances of me not getting it are relatively slim, because as a teacher, they're going to say to me, look, the vaccine is here. You take the vaccine unless you have a medical reason not to, because if you don't take the vaccine, you're not coming back into the classroom. And they could do that. And so,
they can require it.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. And I don't that know. Is, there's going to be some is... people who just like, no, you don't, you're not going to force me to take your, so it does open up some legal potentialities there. Like, if you make me take this and I take it and I do have a reaction, are you now liable for that?
No.
You made me do it.
No. One of the most insipid of crony capitalism rules in the United States is very simply that vaccine manufacturers cannot be sued under U.S. statute.
I'm not saying vaccine manufacturer. I'm saying my work.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's an interesting
question. Right? Because I don't want to take it. Well, if you don't take it, you can't come to work. We require it. Okay. Then I take it and I get smallpox. I don't know. that would be really weird. Whatever. I have a reaction, right? I'm sterile all of a sudden, or would I go, I go blind in my left eye. I don't know. I'm like, you guys maybe take this. Now look what happened. I'm suing you.
That'll be a good case to try right there.
That's my point. It's like, I know you can't go after them. I suppose the schools could say, you blinded my guy, but you can't. I know you can't sue, but I can certainly, you forced me to get it, and look what happened.
Yeah.
So I'm actually supposed to attend a seminar on that exact problem. So
that'll be interesting.
I'm curious about that. Yeah.
How do you attend a seminar? It's got to be a Zoom seminar.
They're all Zooms, through our AALR, which are they're basically the school attorneys.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, well, that is a good question. if we start making, so far we're not insisting people take it, but we could.
Yeah. I think it'll start coming, and we'll see. Although, you know, right now, lots of people are getting more than several million people across the United States have had a shot. And I've got friends right here who are healthcare workers in our local little hospital who have all been given their shot. So they've had their second dose too. It's an interesting question. And I think it is one that, you know, like, we're in uncharted territory, and anywhere we go, it's just the way things are. Everything is sort of at a break point right now. To change the subject, we've just witnessed a terrible I mean, we've had riots all summer, different sorts, but now you had the storming of the Capitol building. It just, people are at a sort of breaking point. And I can't help but think that the pandemic has something to do with it.
I think you're right. I think there's a lot of weird stuff going on. And I think this pandemic, I think inevitably they're going to look back on that and realize, and they're already realizing that. So I don't even think this is a later thing, because we understand the psychology and how many, the depression rates or suicide rates all yep. going up. And yep. we know it's a direct correlation to this.
Direct correlation, yeah. no question.
And so, of course, you're seeing angry people run out in this. I mean, and we can even say the same thing about the Black Lives Matter thing. I think when they burned down, you know, $1 billion worth of stuff, that, yep. yeah, I think a lot of it's just, are we just acting out, you know?
Yeah. And it's hard to be, we are free people. We live in a free country, and you cannot simply put the clamps down and pretend that people will obey it. They won't. And, you know, by the time this episode comes out, the inauguration will have happened. I'm only praying that the inauguration is trouble free, but who the heck knows?
Gonna happen.
You don't think so?
Yeah, I know. Okay. I just don't think that. Yeah, I think no. It's done.
It's burned itself out.
It has, you know, and I just think, I don't know. Anyway, I would be surprised if it happens, but then a lot of things are surprising me. So, you know, you know, so
speaking of surprisingness, what are you drinking this evening?
Oh, I'm having Jameson Caskmate, or the Stout Caskmate.
Oh my gosh. So it's
the one where they take, you know, they take their whiskey and they let it sit in stout barrels.
That is a beautiful thing.
And they also have one for IPA as well. They have a Caskmate IPA and the Caskmate Stout. The Caskmate Stout is just like sublime to me. It's just like, yum, 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 yum. I don't mind the IPA either. I mean, it's wonderful as well, but Caskmate Stout, so good.
So this is whiskey that's been soaking
it
in the stout.
It is. It's Jameson. So they as it is, it's triple filtered whiskey. But then they put it in these stout barrels, you know, beer, you know, stout, and let it age in there. So
there's nothing wrong with good Irish whiskey. Are you a Dewar's fan?
It's okay.
Yeah,
I'm a Jamie guy just because that's what I was force fed.
Sure.
And in my gigs and stuff like that. So, but Dewar's isn't bad. I've even had another one, and I can't remember the name of it now. There was someone gave it to me. Say, hey, try that, and I'm like, yeah, that's good. You know, I was like, it's I love Irish whiskey. It's really smooth, easy to drink. It's good stuff, man. It's good. It's not, I wouldn't call it intense flavored or anything like that. So it doesn't give me like the feels like other bourbons and ryes and things like that. But man, it's just good, easy drinking. I can put a little ice in it, or I can drink it straight up, and it's just easy drinking. How about you? What are you drinking?
I have fallen into the spell that you have spun with Angel's Envy Rye.
That is it. That's the stuff, baby.
And I am drinking it with, not quite reckless abandon, but something close to that. It's a delicious whiskey.
Right.
It really is.
Yeah.
Can you call it a bourbon? It is a bourbon, right? It's a rye.
It's a rye whiskey, technically. Yeah. It's not a bourbon per se, because
right.
It's a whiskey, because bourbons have to be 51% corn, and rye is rye.
Uh-huh.
So it's a whiskey.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So now here's a little background for your Jamesons, all right? So yeah. I'm reading from JeffreyMorganThaler.com, which is an Ask Your Bartender about Protestant versus Catholic whiskey. You know about this.
No, I don't.
This is the Bushmills and Jameson story.
Bushmills, that was what I had. Oh, my God. That was just, right when you said that, I went, that's right. It was Bushmills I had. Someone gave me a bottle of Bushmills. It was good.
I like Bushmills a lot. Yeah, I used to buy that quite frequently. And Scott, our good friend, the friend of the show, Scott Wolf, the mysterious G-Man, likes a good Bushmills once in a while. But then again, he if it has alcohol in it, he likes it. So rubbing alcohol, you name it.
A man.
So according to the Hey Bartender part of Jeffrey Morgan Thaler's blog and articles, I was wondering when someone would ask this question. The truth of the matter is the age-old faux pas of ordering Bushmills for fear of supporting English aggression and offending the Republic of Ireland is about as Irish as corned beef, which is to say, not very Irish at all, but rather Irish-American. Sorry, kids, corned beef is a Jewish invention.
There you go.
Anyway, both of your sources are wrong, but at least your father got the order right. He's answering a question.
Right.
The widely accepted Irish-American version is that Jameson is Catholic whiskey and Bushmills is Protestant whiskey. Ah. But that's merely based on geography. Bushmills is from Northern Ireland, a predominantly Protestant region, and Jameson is from County Cork, a Catholic country. So Jameson was pretty much founded in 1780 when John Jameson, a Scottish guy, purchased the Bow Street Distillery. And at the time, that was one of the biggest distilleries in Ireland. It's interesting. The Scottish Reformation, which is to say when the Scots broke away from the Catholic Church, happened in 1560.
Okay, right.
So odds are in favor of the founder of the Jameson Distillery being Scottish was a Protestant. An Irish whiskey made by a Scotsman who was probably Protestant. Bushmills, on the other hand, was officially licensed in 1608 by King James I. He, of course, of Bible fame, the King James version
King
of the Bible.
King James version, right.
And despite of its location deep in the heart of Protestant country, and this next bit is straight from my local Bushmills rep, so take it or leave it, has a Catholic as a master distiller.
All right.
So according to everyone I've spoken with on the subject, you only really find this debate in the States, where Irish-American support of the Republic can sometimes be blind and often fueled by the very product we're speaking of. But none of it means much anyway. Both distilleries are owned by huge international entities. Jameson's owned by Pernod Ricard, and Bushmills is owned by Diego, or Diageo. So, yep.
Well, there you go. So then it just comes down to preference.
Yeah, and I like them both.
a buddy gave me a bottle of Bushmills. I'm like, oh, this would be great. I've also had, I don't know, if you have had Redbreast?
Oh, have I had Redbreast?
Oh, yeah.
That is our good friend Ron Beck's favorite whiskey.
It's also really tasty, and that's where I think you're getting upper quality Irish whiskey.
I think it's a question too, because you and I have been buying bourbon for a while, and bourbon can be pretty pricey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Irish whiskey is not so much. It's not so pricey. So
no, it's not. It's actually fair, and again, very drinkable. I like it just because you can't go wrong with it. It's tasty. It's smooth. There's no real bad. I have not so far had any bad Irish whiskey.
No,
they're all. Bushmills is great. Jameson, great. Redbreast, really good. As a matter of fact, it's weird. I had I was at a fancy bar in Minnesota. I wish I remember the name of it, but it was really cool because when you walk down the steps, it was like this dungeon looking place. It was all like stone and dark, darkly lit. And they had tons of whiskey. That was their specialty. And nice. A buddy of mine going, hey, if they have Redbreast, get it. And they had a 12, and then they had a Redbreast 18. And I'm like, well, shoot, let's go to Redbreast, whatever. And it's really expensive stuff. And it was good. Don't get me wrong. It was really, really, really good. But, all right, Jamie's right there. It didn't wow me for the money, but I, of course, it wasn't like, oh, this is way overrated. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it wasn't, an $80 bottle is what I'm saying.
Back in the days when I was writing about wine and food, I was invited to a thing called the Big Smoke. And for about 3 or 4 years in a row, the mysterious G-Man, Scott Wolf, and other friend of the show, Sean Neer, and I would go to Las Vegas, and we would partake in Cigar Aficionado's Big Smoke.
Ah, yeah.
And you got cigars and you got free food and beverage on the house all night. And you walked away with 30 smokes, 30 cigars that you brought home. And that lasted us all year.
Right.
Well, the one thing that I was introduced to there was Tullamore Dew.
Yeah.
I do like the Dew, Tullamore Dew. Very nice Irish whiskey and very pleasing to the palate. Really love that, and you can buy a bottle for about $20.
Yeah, it's right in there. I mean, they're all within the same. Tullamore Dew, Bushmills, Jameson. I think Jameson's probably the most popular here. But I mean, and that's what everybody's serving. So I'm like, yeah, give me Jamie. I don't care. And then you get in. I think if you're Irish, then one's going to appeal to you more because, again, maybe where you're from. Like I said, if you're from Cork or whatever, then it's all Jamie. But if you're in, here you go. So if you're around Belfast, it's Bushmills and Molny Bushmills, that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. It's a fascinating how interesting that, you know, because the history of its soul is kind of like bourbon itself. Bourbon's got a full story. It's such a storied liquor, and if there's so much surrounding it, it really is kind of cool.
I agree. It's fun. Now, when we did our booze episode, it was, and there's so, and we just sort of touched the edge of that. I mean, you could literally obviously have a whole show just talking about, you know, just let's focus on this Irish whiskey, Bushmills versus Jameson, and really get down at that rabbit hole. And, you know,
I think we should make a vow that when the pandemic ends, you and I and our significant others are going to go to Kentucky and we'll do a show from the Bourbon Trail.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Wouldn't that be fun?
You know what we should do is then after that, then we fly into, Scotland, and we do the Scotch tour, right?
And then across to Ireland,
and then go to Ireland and do the whiskeys, exactly.
That would be a lot of fun.
Wouldn't that be a blast?
But the Kentucky trip could be relatively affordable.
It is
on the CST budget.
Well, since CST is paying for all this with all
because you know the corporation, we'll have to talk to the union.
We'll get on that. So it's for the show.
It's for the show.
We're getting new listeners in Kentucky.
Kentucky, Ventucky, Kentucky. I think we should try that. I think that would be a great way to go. Well, it keeps the COVID away. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. No, it does.
And that's, yeah.
Yeah. Now, there you go. We go into Tennessee as well.
Yeah. It's not that far. I think we could easily.
Yeah.
Go into Tennessee. Yeah. And I would love to go to Tennessee. I have friends there, and I think there's plenty to eat and drink there too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I want to see them both. So it'd be a lot of fun.
That would be terrific.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Are you a spicy foods guy? Do you like spicy food?
I do. Well, I mean, okay. I depends on what you're talking about. Where are we going?
Well, because if we go to Nashville, we go to Nashville and get hot chicken.
Okay.
Nashville hot chicken. Now, I'm not a spicy food guy, but my wife likes spicy food. So,
yeah, as I get older, I have to admit,
it's harder.
So I put like tapatio on everything.
Oh, do you?
I love tapatio, but it's starting to like going, Mr. Tummy isn't what it used to be.
No, it's not. I do Frank's hot sauce. I like
that. Yeah, we have that too. That's my wife's favorite. I love Tapatio. My wife loves Frank's, and I'll eat the Frank's. It's okay. It's good. But I do like Tapatio. It's just got a little more, botanicals to it. I guess. I don't know. There's something about Tapatio is amazing, but
Jerry likes Tapatio. My brother Jerry is who we're talking about here.
I'm with you, Jerry. Jerry likes Tapatio. All right, Jerry. Let's do it. Tapatio.
Now, you also need to know that Jerry puts ketchup on scrambled eggs.
I don't want to talk to you anymore, Jerry. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Ketchup on.
Isn't that disgusting?
Oh, it makes me cough. That's how bad I.
See, you've got the cough. Have you got the COVID?
Oh, I got the COVID real bad.
Oh, no.
I mean, you know, luckily it killed off my meningitis, but it's, you know, I'm trading one for
there
the
was
other.
A battle.
There was a
right
battle.
Around your right around your pancreas.
Right, yeah, just beating the heck out of each other. And, yay, COVID wins. Yay. Stupid meningitis. Yeah. Along with my diabetes.
Well, if we keep talking, we're going to tuck ourselves into the ground and not have anything to say.
Well, that's a good point. Well, this is, you know, it's a fun little episode.
It is. It's a good 40-minute episode, and we had some good times.
We did. We laughed. We cried.
I'm like having memories about it was a great show. It was a really good episode.
See? Already we know it was a good episode. And, you know, again, we talked about our dogs. Everybody was concerned about our dogs. And we both had sick little puppies. Still do, I guess.
Still do. They're still kind of fighting their way through it. And, of course, my mom is still recovering and praying
in
for
there,
that.
Mom. You got this. You got this, Mom.
She's a fighter.
She is.
She's tough when her first baby come out sideways. She didn't scream or nothing.
For nothing. Tell you what.
I'm just trying to make light. It's a tough thing. It's always a pleasure. We are always, as always, brought to you by two very important things. Nabu Wines, NABU Wines.com. Nabu Wines in Westlake Village, California. Great varietals, great, great blends. Greg Barnett, Jeff Bailey making some great boutique wine from the Napa Valley and the Malibu Hills AVAs. Check them out, NabuWines.com, NABU15 for a 15% discount. Right now, you get free local delivery in L.A., Ventura, and even little sort of parts of Orange County. So give them a call, check them out, and check out Nabu Wines. And
we are also sponsored by 805 Musician Network. It is a Facebook group designed for musicians by musicians. 805 Musician Networks. If you are a musician and you live on the Central Coast, anywhere from Ventura up to Paso Robles, anywhere in the 805, thus the term 805 Musician Network, you should join it on Facebook. And we discuss why we're not doing gigs right now. So we have nothing to do but get on Facebook and chat about it, right? So come on. If you're a musician, not a magician, come on in. 805
Musician. Not a dancer.
No, not a dancer, not a prancer.
Gotta be a musician.
Gotta be a musician. So let's do that. And
as always, friends, it's great to have you along for the ride. Thanks for being here.
Yep. Thank you all for listening. And again, if you have any comments, please don't hesitate to give us a little comment on how much you enjoyed the show, or if you hated it, or if you don't care. You should write that. Hey, if you don't consider anything, I like that. Just write, type that. Hey, just letting you guys know, don't consider this.
Yeah. You know,
that we'd be thrilled. Like, wow, look at that. You're not considering.
That'd be a great message. That would be a good.
Of course, you can catch us on Intune and Stitcher and Apple.
Tune in, iTunes, Amazon Podcasts,
Amazon, all those places or whatever.
We've been to all those places.
Which apparently they can also ban us too for.
that's another subject for another show.
I know. So anyway, we'll be good. So no, don't riot anybody, please.
Amen to that. Have a good night, everybody. Take care.